Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything ExtraCast for the week of December 2nd, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. Tonight's time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Namaste, motherfuckers.
Man, getting down to it, guys. Almost the end of the year. We're going to have to, like, figure out our top 10 lists pretty soon. There's huge movies coming out.
I have to figure out how to shame you guys by being a part of this podcast. Like, what terrible movie am I going to include as the sleeper of the year?
And then we'll like make a disclaimer that the thoughts and opinions of Joe didn't represent everything I did.
He's the wild card.
I don't know if you guys know, like, there's like, I think there's like 12 movies coming out within like 5 days at the end of this month.
Yeah.
And there's like 5 on Christmas Day. It's kind of
grudge match.
It's insanity. So anyway, why don't we get right to the show, because we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. And we gotta kick it out. I think we have to start out with acknowledging the awful news that came out this weekend. That Paul Walker died in a car crash, and I think it was Saturday night.
Sunday.
It was like super late Saturday when I.
Yeah.
When they put it started coming out on like Twitter and stuff. Totally sucks. he was at a charity event for his, like, his big charity he does. Then he and a friend drove off and they crashed into a tree. Which I think they're saying it might have been like some sort of malfunction in the car or something, but
Porsche is
fucking still trying
up.
To investigate it. But yeah,
I mean, car crashes happen, too. Like, I don't know if it was necessarily a malfunction, but, I mean, if you're driving a Porsche that nice, like, I don't think you were going under the speed limit, you know? And it's a shame, too, because it's not even, like, you know, like, I mean, it's always a shame when someone dies, like, whether they're famous or not with this sort of shit, but, like, it wasn't even him driving. Yeah. And that's a really terrible thing to think about.
And, definitely threw Universal into like justifiable like scramble mode to figure out what they're gonna do with Fast 7. Because they were halfway through shooting, and they're gonna basically like this week I think they're gonna be back shooting in like Atlanta or something. But now they might have to like rewrite the entire movie or like just completely scrap what they have and like go to start over with Fast 7. Because they said they're definitely going to move forward with it, it's just they have to figure out what the hell they're going to do now.
Yeah, they're going to do a weird Game of Death film editing with Paul Walker.
They have to do the digital cookie-cutter approach like they did with The Crow.
I was before, like, full digital, so I was just like...
It's rough. If you watched it back then, you're like, oh, look, they did an amazing job. If you watch it now, you're like, ooh.
Like, oh, that's a giant black guy in crow makeup.
Yeah, why is he black but with like a half Asian face? Like, this is really bizarre.
Yeah, both Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee had that post like mortem job thing where
it's like
what?
This was before studios started taking out insurance on
was it the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus?
Oh my god, man. It's like but like that helped the idea where during certain sequences you
mirror and then there's like Heath Ledger's now Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah, but like there's still like 70% of the movie where Heath Ledger like outside of the wagon, he's Heath Ledger and like walking around. Every time you go in, like it was kind of weird how they filmed those, because I don't think that was like part of the script, but they definitely worked it in so well that you forget that like Heath Ledger is like a different actor every time he goes inside this wagon, With Fast and Furious, it's not like you get to the car and it's like, oh, by the way, every time I get in the car, like, I become Johnny Depp. It's like, oh, I get that. Like,
yeah.
And I did read where they said, well, maybe, like, a weird fan theory where it's like, well, maybe during Tokyo Drift, like, Paul Walker shows up and changes driver's seat. And I'm like, oh, it's so terrible they do that.
They can't kill him off, like, in a car crash in the movie. That would be the most awful thing anyone could ever do.
That would be so poorly chased, yeah.
I mean, they could do it. Like, don't put it past them.
They could do it and have everyone hate them.
If you want to kill a franchise so fast.
I'm pretty sure going to make the money.
Judging from everyone like The Rock and everyone, like everyone's responses to this, like everyone was super close. So if they like, oh, we're going to kill him off in a car crash, they would just like, they would be like, well, fuck you.
They'll get rock bottomed. Yeah.
They would they'd be like, fuck Universal. We're never doing another one of these movies.
And don't forget, in Game of Death 2, they still made this movie. It scraps the footage of Bruce Lee, right? They included his fucking funeral procession inside that movie.
That was
different,
Chris. That was
that was my God.
That was like no so, immortals.
Dark theory. What if they use the footage? And they just put that in there. And it's just like,
just like the scene of his accident, and like they had that video come out with Vin Diesel like talking to fans.
Yep. And they just
about, oh my God, it'd be great if they just like cut out his like name. You know what I mean? No, like every time he said Paul, they just changed it to like
Ryan.
Oh god. But it's still like his mouth is still saying Paul.
Yeah, it's like we're going back to that phase. Like, yeah, we. It sounds terrible, but like, what if we start like doing like actor exploitations like beyond like their original contract? Where it's like, well, we could use like, you know, really desperate contract rules. Where it's like, okay, like in the event of you die during production, like we get to use like footage, and it's like. Okay, like, I'll do a bonus sign if I allow that.
I feel like...
Hoping I don't die.
Well, I mean, they're insured.
I really hope that, like... I think the people, like, I feel like the executive did that back in, like, Game of Death days was, like, super sleazy, just, like...
Yeah, these were...
Cigar shop, like... Just take a camera over to the funeral, for God's sake. We gotta get this picture done.
I mean, yeah, those guys are long gone, but you never know that... What, yeah, like, you want to be at a picture, huh? You want to start. God.
The only thing I can think of that would work is if they probably have to just restart the whole thing and just have, like, Brian and, like, Mia and them not be, like, just like, oh, this is too dangerous for, like, they got family now, it's too dangerous for them, and then they're not in the movie.
Yeah, that's a beautiful send-off where it's like, I want to be a family guy now, like,
The plot of 7 is Jason Statham's gonna try and murder them all. So maybe they send them into hiding off screen, and it's just like Vin Diesel and The Rock and some of the new people trying to stop Jason Statham now instead of having them in it.
Totally fine with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a few ways it could go, but
because I don't think they couldn't like poochie him or anything.
Right.
I must go now. My planet needs me.
Or, like, only Dom could see him. And he was just, like, imagining Ryan the whole time.
That would put a crazy twist on the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, what?
And then it ends with Dom in an insane asylum.
What happened in 2, then?
I don't know.
Or
they got lots of splaining to do.
Like, or they do this weird franchise crossover where it ends in like pitch black.
It could end Saw because James Wan's directing it.
What happened? Ryan got sawed.
So besides the Furious, what other any other Paul Walker movies that you guys like?
I'm a big fan of Running
Scared.
Yeah,
I think definitely, like, if you've just seen Paul Walker in Fast and Furious, you need to go watch Running Scared right now.
And for the record, can I just say, not that I need to, like, defend my cred or anything, but, like, I actually saw Running Scared when it was, like, a new release.
In theaters?
And that was really before, and that was before Paul Walker, like, I think that was before Fast and the Furious, right?
No,
it was...
Or right after the first one,
after 2.
Yeah.
Oh, it was right after 2. Okay, but the point is, like, it wasn't, like, a huge franchise yet. It's not like... Or it's not like I rented it after he died. Like, I saw it and actually enjoyed it. And was like, oh, he was pretty good in that. So...
Yeah, Running Scared is, like...
Yeah, believe
super
me.
Super awesome, like...
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's super bizarre, but it's also, like... Awesome. It's, like, in that Crank level of, like, super heightened ridiculous.
Yes.
Because it's just, like, Paul Walker running into, like, the most awful situations you could possibly imagine in, like, Los Angeles.
Like, comically terrible situations.
Like, his son gets kidnapped by pedophiles at one point, and it's awful, and...
That was one of the most uncomfortable sequences in the history
it
of
is.
Cinema,
yeah.
Just, like, sit through.
Like, they just,
that
like,
was
it's
bad.
A weird, like, dollhouse, but then they're, like, filming it, and everything's covered in plastic, and it's just like, what is going on? But then also...
It's a mindfuck of a movie, but...
And then, like, the scene, like, at the hockey arena.
Yeah.
Then, like, I mean, just a bunch of other stuff I'm looking at his IMDb right now. He was in Flags Are Our Fathers?
I don't remember who he was, but...
Probably a soldier.
But, like, he wasn't, like, the main character, I don't think.
Varsity Blues?
Yeah, I remember Varsity Blues.
Pleasantville?
Yep, he was in the basketball team. It's a weird movie, Drew.
Yeah. not gonna lie to you.
The Skulls.
Skulls, yeah. Joyride.
Oh, God, yeah. I think Joyride, like, was before Fast and the Furious, and that, like, just a weird movie that involved cars.
Joyride like, was, like, the same year as Fast and the Furious. Timeline, which, not the greatest Michael Crichton adaptation, but it was okay. It was kind of dumb fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Into the Blue.
I've only seen parts of it, and it's a very questionable movie.
And actually, from this year, I think it might be on Netflix, possibly, but Vehicle 19, which was kind of like crazy, like phone booth, but it's in a van. Because basically the entire movie takes place in the van. It never leaves the van.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it, but
it was pretty. It's pretty cool. Just like the gimmick of it makes it way better than it would if it was just if it didn't have the gimmick of being in the van. It'd probably just be like a kind of like a standard like
gotcha
action movie sort of thing thriller. But since with the gimmick, it's kind of like way more interesting than it normally would be because it literally never leaves the van. You start the movie in the van in the airport parking lot, and then Paul Walker comes up to the van and gets it, and then you're like in the van for the entire movie.
Bizarre, man. Bizarre.
So, yeah, so, I mean, we'll have to wait and see what's going on with Fast 7, but, I mean, just... It's always sucky when, like, something like this happens.
Oh, it's terrible.
And actually, something kind of... Like, Fast 6 is out next week on Blu-ray, and I guess they're going to... If you buy it, special portions are going to go to Paul Walker's Big Cherry does. I think it's, like, Reach Out or something. Which is, like... It sends, like, paramedics to, like... countries that need them, like super trained, like first responders and stuff to like disaster sites. Mm-hmm. Apparently he was ridiculously huge in charity, apparently. Like I remember like there's like the Huggins like, made an interview with like Danny Trejo where he's just like talking about like he's involved like it seems like Danny Trejo's like involved like every charity in Los Angeles. Like it seems like Paul Walker, same thing.
That's cool that they give back. They've got a good fan base for that.
There's like this one story that kept going around, like I think this weekend, where like he met like this some couple at like a jewelry store and just bought them their engagement ring for no reason. Just like here's some money for your engagement ring, guys.
That's a little weird. I mean, it's cool, but a little weird.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to some other news. From this past week or so. bunch of trailers came out. Some new trailers for 300, Rise of the Empire, and Pompeii. Do you guys see either of those?
I saw the 300 one.
Yeah, next.
Yeah, the 300 one looks about right.
It's like 300.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it seems, especially this trailer, it seems like it's going to be all about the naval battle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool, because it seems like it's not something you usually see. A little bit more of like what the actual story is. It seems like you're actually going to see, like, apparently, like, Xerxes was just some normal dude, and they got into, like a golden pool and became, like, Xerxes' man god. Some match.
Which I didn't read the prequel comic that Frank Miller made.
Like the Rise of Xerxes or whatever? Or Xerxes.
Yeah, that was, like, just primarily, like, a prequel where it's just him rise to power. Which is cool. Like, I didn't mind, like, having more backstory. Mm-hmm. Then this is, like, a weird, like, there's gonna a flashbacks to, like, young Xerxes, and there's gonna be flashbacks of, like, 300, then there's gonna be, like, flash forward to the battles.
I think it's mainly a sequel, and there's gonna be some flashback stuff, maybe, it seems like. Because it's picking up, like, everyone's talking about, like, Leonidas is killed, now we have to, like, unite, or else we're conquered by Xerxes.
Right, but then, like, in 300 itself, it's like that. The epilogue is like them taking on Xerxes, like, after this.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Like, they just, like, skipping ahead and retelling the same two stories over and over
again. It'd be awesome if it picked it up right at that battle, and that was, like, the first battle they have or something, or, like, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, like, at the end, the last battle at the end is that battle at the end of that movie. So, again, like, the timeline's a little weird, and it's not following that Rise of the Empire comic completely.
No, because I think that was definitely just like a Xerxes like miniseries.
Right, but it was called Rise of Empire.
That was called Rise of Xerxes or something, or just 300 really? Xerxes.
Huh.
And then Pompeii. I think it's one of those trailers that basically I think it's explained, like it has the whole movie in the trailer.
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
Because it ends up with like Vesuvius exploding and like them trying to escape from Vesuvius. It's like, all right.
I feel like half the movie is them just, like, gladiator battles, it's like, and then the rest of the movie just running away from lava. Because
Jon Snow is, like, a gladiator, and then basically he finds out, like, his...
Pompeii.
His friend is gonna, like, get... Basically, he's thrown into this battle where he's probably not gonna win, and then, like, he's in love with, like, his master's daughter. He's trying to, like, make money to, like, get freedom and, like, marry her. And then the father's like, nope, you're going to marry this other dude. And so he's, like, trying to, like... And then Vesuvius starts exploding. So it's like, get my friend, get my girl, escape from Pompeii.
On three. One, two, three, go.
It's going to be super... Like, there are so many freaking, like... historical action movies coming out next year. There's two Hercules, there's 300, there's Pompeii, there's Noah. It's just where does new like historical epic thing come from?
I guess it started with almost that 300, like almost 8 years ago, I think. And then that kind of set the trend, which didn't, like, set wildfire on, like, other
Fuck
things.
Fuck me, has it really been that long?
Yep.
Good God. I'm slipping.
Well, I mean, it's great to see sequels.
You've had, like, Ridley Scott doing Gladiator and, like, Robin Hood and Kingdom of Heaven. But just, like, it's weird, like, all of a sudden, like, just next year, just, like... Ancient Rome.
We all have the same.
Ancient Rome, man.
We all had the same idea. Yeah.
I tried, like, maybe Spartacus, but, like, I mean, it was...
Spartacus was definitely, like, inspired from, like...
300.
From... I guess, you know, we could blame this to?
Hmm?
We could blame Zack Snyder.
I guess.
Oh, come on.
He started the 300 thing. He did Immortals.
Yeah, and there's been, like, Immortals and Clash of Titans and a bunch of other ones.
And then, what else? Like, then even the copycats are inspired from that. Like, Spartacus, and then Viking.
Mm-hmm. I guess Game of Thrones, too.
Partially. Because there's only, like, 5 battles in the Game of Thrones 2 seasons, so...
Yeah, so anyway, I wonder if we'll get a trailer for that Rock Hercules movie anytime soon.
See, a lot of Twitter pics of just The Rock, like, flexing, yeah. But...
There's a second trailer already for that Kellan Lutz one, which apparently they had to rename it to Legend of Hercules because there's some lawsuit with the other Hercules movie because they own the rights to Hercules or something. It's some weird naming thing lawsuit.
Don't the Greeks own the word Hercules?
Why don't you just call it Heracles? Because that's like his Greek name.
Yeah, so...
Legend of Heracles.
Or son of Zeus. Okay, like that's just
God of War.
Technically, step.
Hercules' legendary journeys.
Young Herc. Hey, do you remember when Ryan Gosling was Hercules? that happened. In the world, let that happen.
Remember when we was in that episode of Goosebumps? So, speaking of historical stuff, we got the first trailer for AMC's new show coming out next year, Turn.
Nice.
Which is set during the Revolutionary War, and it follows the Culper spy ring, who were, like, American spies doing espionage against the British during the war. Did you guys see that trailer?
Didn't see it, but I saw some, like, shots from it. And I mean, it's AMC. Yeah. Like, I'm sure it'll be...
It's pretty much guaranteed, like, I will watch the first episode no matter what this is.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it doesn't turn into, like, you know, Hell on Wheels, I'll be fine.
Hell on Wheels is okay. I'd prefer, I hope it doesn't turn into, like, a Low Winter Sun, because that show just devolved into awfulness.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't see that. Well, even AMC's, like, worst stuff still isn't, like, terrible. You know, it's just...
Killing yet.
Well,
everyone
true.
Says that the third season of The Killing is awesome.
This is, like, a completely
different
show. Yeah,
but you gotta sit through 2 seasons of shit, mm-hmm. probably.
Well, third season, like, has nothing to do with anything that happened in the first 2 seasons.
Oh, great.
It should have been called, like, something else, then, besides
it should have,
killing,
like, a subtitle.
Cause...
Like, The Killing, colon...
The Revenge.
Which is...
The Ghost of Louisiana.
Which I don't know if you guys... It's weird, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, CBS. They've all of their shows now have, like, subtitles for, like, story arcs. Cause, like, I keep seeing, like, The Mentalist, like, Mentalist colon Red John or something. And there's, like, all these other, like, weird, like, Person of Interest colon Endgame or something.
Well, Endgame was, like, the last 3 episodes or something like that.
It's like, is this a spinoff? Yeah. So anyway, Turn looks pretty awesome. I wonder if that's gonna be like Mad Men's partner for the spring or something. That would probably make the most sense because like it's coming out. I think they're coming out at the same time. Or maybe because like, Walking Dead's coming. Like, no, Walking Dead's coming out in February, so I don't know. That's gonna work because I know Mad Men's back in like May or something.
I think so.
Because that's basically all they have at this point is Walking Dead and Mad Men for like returning shows. Actually, did it?
Well, Walking isn't this like the last Mad Men season?
Well,
so...
they're Breaking Bad-ing it, and it's gonna be like part one of the final season is this year, next year, part two is 2015. So they're drawing it out. And it's like it's gonna be like 8 episodes and 7 episodes, or 7 episodes, 8 episodes, something like that.
And then one season is just one episode cut up for 5 minutes for like a year.
It's a webisode.
It's a micro series.
So, anyway, last trailer to talk about, I don't know if either of you guys saw it, but the trailer for Badasses, which is a sequel to Badass, the ridiculous Danny Trejo movie that came out last year.
Danny Trejo.
Have you guys seen that Badass yet?
No.
I got, like, halfway through, and then, like, I totally forgot to finish it.
I mean, it's super ridiculous. It's like... Well, I mean, first thing, it's based on Epic Beard Man, so that kind of tells you...
Well, like, the first part is, and after that...
Then it just spirals into, like, insanity. But Badasses is Danny Trejo coming back as his character, Frank Vega, and teaming up with Danny Glover to find out who... Because basically, in Badasses, like, Danny Trejo opens up, like, a boxing gym and, like, start training, like, these inner-city kids to box... And, like, one of his boxers gets killed by, like, some drug dealer or something. So, like, Danny Trejo and Danny Glover are, like, out to, like, find out who that guy is and get revenge on him.
It's kind of like a weird Gran Torino?
Gran Torino?
Yeah,
except Gran Torino, but, like, mixed with, like, Crank or something.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, it's great to see Danny Glover, like, play some sort of badass.
Make like a grumpy old man reference in like within like a minute into the trailer.
Oh, did they make a Lethal Weapon reference where he's like, "I'm too old for this shit"?
I think so.
Does he own that copyright to say that or something? Like, did he buy the rights? He uses that line like in every movie.
Is like Michael Buffer, where like no one can say, "Are you ready? Get ready to rumble." Let's get ready to rumble. It's like trademarked by Michael Buffer. And they make like if you guys watch the show, like, at the end of it, they make this super weird, like, Expendables reference. Because, like, they're, like, driving away, and, like, Danny Trejo pulls out a grenade, and he's like, "I brought this from Expendables!" And throws it at a helicopter and explodes. It's like, do the Expendables exist in this universe or something? I don't know. I'm a little worried. It seems like it might be a little bit too self-aware now. Because the first one was, like, ridiculous, but it kind of played it a little bit straight. And it was funny because of that. This one seems like it's just, like, going a little bit more, like, "We should make it as crazy as possible, guys." Which is usually a bad thing. When people are intentionally trying to make something, like over the top and ridiculous, it usually doesn't work out that great. So, anyway, moving on, there was some pretty massive DC news, actually today and earlier this week. So I think first and foremost, we have our Wonder Woman for Batman vs. Superman.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So, I think you say it's Gal Gadot?
I think so.
AKA Giselle from the Fast and Furious movies.
Yes, sir.
And they specifically, like, they didn't, like, cop out and be like, "Oh, yeah, she's Diana Prince." They're like, or she's like, "No, it's Wonder Woman."
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially in 5 and 6, like, she was one of the best parts of Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really expecting Wonder Woman to
it's getting very close to like overcrowded alert.
Yeah, I'm worried enough.
It's Batman, Superman,
by it just being Batman and Superman,
Nightwing possibly,
Nightwing definitely, and now they're saying Flash
and Wonder
too.
Woman and maybe Lex Luthor. It's like.
It's slowly becoming an indirect Justice League movie.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, listen, I understand that a major theme of this movie has to be that, you know...
This is like... this is going to be, like, the linchpin for, like, the DC cinematic universe.
Right. No, but, like, what I was going to say is that I understand that this has to be the... medium for like other heroes have existed, but the whole idea is that Man of Steel is like the first superhero movie in the DC Cinematic Universe, and as such, Superman is the first superhero. Now, Batman has existed, but I hope that they kind of toy with the idea of Batman being, like, the urban myth, and not necessarily being, like, you know, the Batman that, like, everyone knows is Batman and that killed Harvey Dent, Christopher Nolan. I'm hoping that it's kind of like, oh, there's no such thing as the Batman, like that sort of thing, and, like, the cops still deny him. So in that sense, you don't have any superheroes that have, like, come forward, but given the events of Man of Steel, he would probably, you know, now be, I guess, inspiring people to, you know, come forward and reveal themselves. So that could be pretty cool. That could be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, just Batman and Superman alone kind of spooked out. And then to have, you know, Wonder Woman in there too, I don't know. It's a lot to juggle. And now they're saying the Flash and Nightwing, I don't know.
I want to make it more complex. Like, oh, here's Damian, and here's a Lazarus
Green Arrow.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Like, it's obviously very New 52 heavy. But Chris, I don't know if, I mean, Zach, I know you've read it, but Chris, I don't know if you've read the New 52 Batman comics. Not the Detective Comics, the Batman comics, where they jump right the fuck into it. And it's like, from issue number one, Bruce Wayne is obviously Batman, but Dick has already been Robin, and now he's Nightwing. Jason Todd is already dead. Tim Drake is Robin. There's fucking, like, all this crazy stuff has already happened, and they just sort of, like, gloss over it, like, very briefly. But, like, oh, I'm sorry, Damian is Robin. Yeah, Damian is Robin, but he's still Damian Wayne. He's not, like, Damian Jones. Like,
someone, is Tim Drake Red Robin, I think?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Tim Drake is Red Robin, yeah.
Yeah, so they've already gone through.
I finished your volume one of the Court of Owls, and then I went and read Nightwing's thing up until, like, the end where, like, he then comes back from Bloodhaven.
That gets spooky. Yeah.
And it's like, hey, like, I just did all this crazy assassin shit, and I'm hanging out now. I'm just like, oh, that should have been addressed. I guess, like, what, like, a DC writers, like, this was when they did the huge reboot, which I can't imagine what the writers must do when they're like, all right, now you do the story arc, let me know when you're done, let me write this, like, character that gets introduced, like, halfway through your story.
Man, you know, the, like, problem with them is that one hand doesn't know what the other's doing.
Right, right, so it's like, there's this overlap where, like, what, do they just not tell each other about, like, this person they both know? Like, like, that's what I was reading. I was like, there's a few conflicting problems here.
Like, it's certain ones are, like, pretty super, like Swamp Thing, Animal Man are, like, super, super connected, and they always go back and forth.
Right.
The Batman ones seem pretty, like, I think everyone goes off, like, what Scott Snyder does, so whatever happens in Batman proper, like, everyone just goes off of that for, like, the other Batman books.
Yeah, Batman is definitely leading the charge out of all those. Like, the Dark Knight or whatever they did?
Yeah, that's just, like, whatever.
Like, what the fuck was that? Detective Comics is good, but it's not nearly as good as just, like, the straight-up Batman has been. So, yeah, but,
I don't, Chris probably has it, but have you read Death of the Family yet, Joe?
I have it. I have not sat down to read
that
it yet, though. I actually got both editions of it. I got the Joker perspective one. That's, like, the Joker book that opens up and it's his face. I don't even know if I'm going to open that, to be honest with you. I might just open the plain edition and read that. But, yeah, dude, I'm very psyched to read that. But the point I was going to make was that they might very well have the opportunity here to just sort of run with that mentality for this movie, because it's not a Batman origin movie. And by just introducing Batman in a Superman movie, you can just say, oh, look, he's Batman. And look, he's gone through three Robins. And look, like, all this shit has happened in the past. Well, now you're up to date. This is Batman. This is what he does. So in a way, that could be a really good thing and can provide us with a version of Batman that we've still really yet to see, I think. You know, like, I feel like
if in Christopher Nolan's movies, if there hadn't been that like 8 year itch or whatever, that like 8 year gap of him just like sitting in a room eating Cheetos, like growing a beard, if he had been Batman that whole time, then maybe when The Dark Knight Rises picked up, we would have seen this really like fucking awesome veteran Batman who had his shit together and was really brutal, but was getting like tired or whatever. Like that would have been cool, but we never got the chance to see that. This is our chance to see that. But other than the cast of characters, the other information that's leaking out that really has me worried is the whole Kingdom Come angle, where they basically are saying that Bruce is going to be controlling drones from the Batcave.
Oh, God.
Which I'm like, okay, I understand, and I don't hate the idea of Batman having surveillance drones, like just like in his arsenal in some capacity. But I absolutely hate the idea of an interpretation of Batman where instead of going out and breaking teeth, he's sitting in the Batcave with like a cup of coffee, like policing with drones. And I understand that that worked in Kingdom Come in a really great way, but Ben Affleck also isn't 70 years old. Like this isn't a Batman Beyond movie, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
So,
and I don't know enough about this girl to be excited about Wonder Woman, you know, because for all we know, it's like, oh, she's Wonder Woman, but they might just fucking,
I mean, you saw PS5, right?
No, I did, but I don't know. To me, it could have only been Christina Hendricks.
Did either of you guys see Fast 6 yet? Okay.
No.
Hey, man. The point I'm trying to make is that she doesn't really look like Wonder Woman, but for all we know...
I know a lot of people are probably saying, like, Gina Carano.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was just trying to say that she may barely be in it, for all we know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't know. For all we know, it could be like, oh, hey, I'm Wonder Woman. Okay, bye.
I'm here to talk to you about the Justice League.
I'm here to talk about the Justice League initiative, yeah. You know? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be crazy shit.
So, speaking of DC and the DC Cinematic Universe, it might get expanded in a pretty big way in the next couple of years, because DC announced that they're going to be doing a bunch of quote-unquote smaller budget movies around some of the more obscure characters and teams and heroes of DC Universe. All headed up by David Goyer. So they announced they're going to do a Suicide Squad movie, Booster Gold, Deathstroke, and Team 7 are some of the movies that they're talking about doing.
Deathstroke is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that much. But, I don't know, man. Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad is awesome.
No. I agree. But that's super fucking ambitious. Like, I don't know how they're going to pull that one off.
Well, here's a bunch of characters, and, like, they all die.
Yeah, man. I'm like, you can't just, like, start introduce. Well, actually, I guess they can just start randomly introducing characters. That's what they're doing with this movie. With Man of Steel 2. It's just like, hey, it's Batman.
Yeah, you can just do like
hey, it's Wonder Woman.
I mean, you can do open Suicide Squad with like them get like doing whatever the hell they're doing as a criminal, and they get captured, and it's like, so you get to like sort of like intro to like what they do, and then it's like captured, thrown in front of Amanda Waller.
But it's gonna be like Ocean's 11. But
yeah,
with like supervillains.
I wonder if it would be like, I'm sure it'd probably be the current team, if any, like the New 52 team, if anything, which is.
Yeah.
Deadshot, Harley Quinn, I think Captain Boomerang was on the team for a little bit.
I believe.
There's like Black Tarantula, King Shark.
Oh, God.
And then I think, I can't remember the flame, there's like a Mexican flame guy, I can't remember his name.
La Cucaracha.
Like,
Spicy
Unknown
Latino.
Soldier.
John Leguizamo.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Deathstroke would definitely be probably just awesome. Like, just Deathstroke just, like, getting jobs as a mercenary and just, like, killing people. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty badass.
Especially if they got, Manu Bennett from Arrow, who's also Crixus in Spartacus, because he's, like, Deathstroke on Arrow.
Yes.
And then, Booster Gold would probably be pretty cool.
Yeah, as long as they don't make it too tongue-in-cheek, it could be cool.
That, yeah, that could turn into, like, The Mask or something.
Yeah, very easily. Especially with it being Warner Brothers, they might be like, let's be silly.
He's our comic character. He's like...
He's comic relief. He's going to be played by Dean Cook.
Oh, God. And then he fights Ryan Reynolds Deadpool for Ultimate Supremacy.
Which one is he? Which one is he?
And then,
which one do I shoot? Which one do I shoot?
And then Team 7 is like... I don't know. Like, the only person on that team is Amanda Waller, basically. Because it's like the weird, like, predecessor to Suicide Squad. Which is just like, it's like, it's like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's like Argus's, like, Black Ops unit or something.
I don't know, it's a lot of potential. Mm-hmm.
And instead they want to do, like, one or two of these movies, these, like, smaller movies every year. So, like, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then have, like, a big, like, Batman or Superman in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, hopefully they get their shit together and, like, start getting some movies out.
Well, yeah, that would be cool. That'd be cool.
They're definitely winning TV-wise, but they need to catch up on movies.
Well, they're winning TV-wise for now. And I think Marvel knows that, which is why they're like, guess what, Daredevil motherfuckers, like, it's coming to Netflix, fuck TV. We're gonna curse and show titties. Well, not really.
They could.
I mean, it'd be great if they did curse and show titties.
It's basically...
You could show sonar titties.
It's a paid subscription, so it's premium.
Yeah, man. That would be great.
Breaking Bad on Netflix showed, like, tits and stuff. They said F-bombs in the first season.
They sure did.
They just kind of stopped.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, the first season was unedited, and it's like, the second season, it was, like, TV edits again.
Yeah.
I wonder if that one time on Mad Men when, like, Roger told the Japanese to fuck off, that was if that's unedited on Netflix.
I think it is.
That was like the most like awkward like edit ever. Because it's like super obvious what he's saying, which is there's like a gaping just like silence hole in the middle of that scene.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
So speaking of Netflix, House of Cards is coming back on Valentine's Day next year for season 2.
Very cool.
Yeah, did you catch up, Joe? Or did you watch it?
No.
Did you watch it, Chris?
I hear nothing but great things about it, though.
I wanted to watch the original one so I can cut up in 1980, like, 2's British politics.
Like, you have no idea what the hell is going on, Chris. They're going to be talking about parliamentary procedures, and you're like, what?
Yeah. But then I come out of it, then I watch the Americanized version, and it's like, oh, I understand this localized government. Like, I understand what they're talking about.
You're gonna be wondering, like, where are these, like, British people? Like, why is no one wearing wigs? And, like...
Hey, why is no one wig? How come there's no queen? Where is the tea time?
I'm trying to think, like, what the houses are of Parliament, but it's just, like...
Well, I mean, House of Cards in English Parliament, I think, has a better meaning than House of Cards in America does.
It's like a House of Cards, man. It's unstable. It could topple any time.
Yeah, but then, like, I think the House of Cards makes sense for, like, because we use the term houses, like, a lot as government bodies in Britain, I think. Not really sure. I'm not really up on my British logic, but...
House of Cards is, like, Breaking Bad, but it's, like, instead of cooking meth, like, Kevin Spacey is, like, manipulating politics.
It's all the best Heisenberg schemes, yeah. I'm guessing.
He's just like putting schemes in the motions and like putting like blackmailing people and like putting bills in that are gonna fail so they can like get people out of office and stuff.
I mean, it's cool to see like the tension. I just need to finish a few TV shows before I start something new.
I think it's like 13 episodes, so it shouldn't take too long. Like jumped in House Guards, and you have a couple months now to catch up.
Yeah, but like I burned through the first two seasons of Mad Men. I mean, Breaking Bad when I first started watching, well, first and I lost like a weekend. Episodes. Right, but like I lost a weekend, so I gotta see if I have time just in case I lose myself.
This is coming up. You have time off, right? So anyway, moving on to other news. We're getting pretty close to the new Sarah Connor for the upcoming Terminator reboot.
Oh.
Directed by Thor the Dark World's Alan Taylor. So I guess there was kind of like a short list going around. They might have some auditions or something like that, some talks. Now the two frontrunners though are Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and Brie Larson.
Brie Larson's a weird pick.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like she's only been in, like, comedies or dramedies.
Yeah, like, she's that weird indie girl that, like, at the end she walks away with the protagonist and she's happy, but not like, okay, like, hold this gun now. And, like, the thing I liked about Terminator 1 and 2 was that, like, Sarah Connor went from, like, this bubbly 80s girl to, like, a militant mindset, like, really fast. And then, even in the Sarah Chronicles,
Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Connor Chronicles. Like,
Leela, whatever her fucking name was, like, Lena Headey, and it's like, she has this weird bitchy mode to her that's awesome, that's like, yeah, like, I can believe her being kind of like this hot, like, militant Sarah Connor.
Also Game of Thrones, so that makes sense to get Emilia Clarke in there. The Mother of Dragons.
Emilia Clarke, though.
Mother of Dragons, Mother of Resistance.
Both these girls, these actresses, like, they're very, like, cute neighbor next door look. Mm-hmm. And so it's gonna be this weird transformation that, like, they throw, like, it's more than just throw some dirt on her face and call her, like, Sarah Connor.
I think you've seen a, like, on Game of Thrones, I think you've already seen a bunch of it that, like, Emilia Clarke could probably do that. Like, especially, like, the one scene the mid-season, like, the halfway point last year.
Oh, where she, like, walked through fire?
No, like, when she freed the slaves.
And they all touched her?
Well, no, like,
she doesn't do a lot of fighting.
Oh, no, that was like, was that the end of season two? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Probably she like unleashes her dragons on that dude.
She doesn't do any fighting. She just raises her arm or she walks her places.
She doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, so it's not like, ooh, like, she's a good, like, combat actress. It's like, Sarah Connor's kind of like you'd be a physical role. Like, you... I'm always speculating.
Like, personality-wise, she seems like she could be a good Sarah Connor.
I guess.
And just put him on whatever workout Linda Hamilton did for that.
A crap load of pull-ups.
One-handed prison pull-ups. So, anyway, last bit of news for this week is that, I'm sure something we were all fans of when we were kids, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Never read them.
Never read them?
Really?
Oh my god.
No.
You're
too busy reading that Goosebump.
You've seen the covers though, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Most horrifying images ever created by man.
Yeah.
So apparently that is getting turned into a movie from CBS Films. They bought the rights, and the guys who wrote the original Saw are going to be writing the screenplay for it.
Good, that should be terrifying.
And I guess it's going to be kind of pulling. It's gonna be like, it's not gonna be like an anthology or anything. It's gonna be like a single story, but it's gonna be kind of pulling in a bunch of stuff from some of the stories that are in those books. It's kind of like, and it's about these kids who have to like save their town when like nightmares start becoming real. If they base like these nightmares on the illustrations from the books, it'll be the most horrifying movie ever made. Like, have you read? You read when you were a kid, Chris?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember those fucking drawings?
Yeah, it's like a head that's like kind of see through and like. I just remember there was one with, like, this nose that's really red. It was, like, a skeleton that's, like, decaying. Yep. And I was like, oh, I remember that in book fairs. And I was, like, staring at this thing. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, like, go to sleep and think, like, I can just walk down the neighborhood and, like, there's a fucking house decaying. And, like, a skeleton,
there's, like,
pops
one
out of
like,
it.
What was the story? It was, like, the story where, like, the wife, like, killed her husband and, like, made a scarecrow out of him or something. And then it was, like, the scarecrow came back and, like, murdered her.
I mean... It's been a while since I read these.
Heartwarming family classic.
But
kids,
they're pretty much like weird.
Know?
Yeah, they're like really, really violent Tales of the Crypt stories where like there's a lesson.
Well,
it's,
a of, like,
it's always domestic abuse. It's,
a bunch
like,
of, it's like a lot of like folklore and like urban legends and.
Yeah, it's like, hey, don't go in a cave. Don't go by
also,
the cave
like,
at night.
Like horrifying, like real. Like there's, I remember when it was like about like, the poltergeist and it's like, this was never solved. The family just moved. Or, like...
What was the one with, like, some kid's trying to sleep and there's a knocking?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, don't... Whatever it is, like, don't, like, answer the knock. Or, like, something happens to you.
Or there's one with, like, the real-life story of, like, a wolf girl. That they... Like, one a feral girl they found in the woods.
And what's really funny about the cover art, if some kid, like, was to draw this in class... This goes to the principal,
he would go to the school psychologist, like, immediately.
No. When we were kids, he would just be the creepy kid.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, oh, Charles, you fucking creep. Like, you know? But today, it's fucking Ritalin, and it's social fucking, like, intervention. Ugh. God damn. Little soft kids. Like, you can't do those fucking covers today.
No.
You know? Like, you can't even have that in your book. They'll be like, oh my god, we can't publish this.
Bastard. I guess they did a reprint of it a couple of years ago, and,
totally different covers.
Actually, oh, I guess they did, they swapped out, and they're all, like, just super, super lame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll you guys, the IO9 article you take a look at while we're going, but yeah, like it's all like instead of like the like there's like one of them is like that one where like the wife turned her husband to a scarecrow, like the original one is like a corpse stuffed with straw, and then like the other one's like it's a scarecrow, a
crazy
scarecrow
on a
roof.
Yeah,
he's creepy.
Yeah, the originals are far better. The originals are actually kind of disturbing still.
Yeah,
you
I
know.
Mean,
like, if you look at it, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, they are, like, it's, like, how the hell did, we, like, kids, they get, like, oh, here, kids, it's in your school library. Like,
yeah.
Here's
like, but that's the thing, nobody thought anything of it. They're just like, oh, you want a spooky story, kids?
Yeah.
You gotta read the scary story. And go home.
Would you like some psychological scarring with your scary stories? Okay.
Yeah. For real.
Thanks, Stephen Grimmel. And Elvin Schwartz. Yeah, so that's apparently coming soon. Who knows when? There's also the Goosebumps movie coming out. There's a new Twilight Zone movie coming out. There's Tales from the Dark Side coming out on CW. Like a bunch of like horror mythology stuff's coming back. Which
cool, man.
Yay.
When are we going to get, like, a new Tales from the Crypt, is what I want to know.
When are we going to get Tales of the Crypt,
on
period,
Netflix?
On Blu-ray? Ah, on Netflix, please. Or HBO Go,
yeah,
even.
That would
like,
make sense. Yeah.
I'm not being picky.
I mean, although, the seasons on DVD are super cheap.
Oh, like I know, like, but I really would rather not
season one
have to
and
buy
two
them.
I bought on DVD at Best Buy for like $10, I think, sometime.
That's pretty awesome.
I know Tales from the Crypt movies are on Netflix.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Which, Brielle of Blood is good. Demon Knight, not so much.
Yeah.
So anyway, why don't we get into New Roshanda for the week, unless there's any other news stories you guys can think of we need to talk about.
Negative.
Alright, so our pick of the week is The Wolverine. And I think specifically the extended edition. I'm super interested to see what's different about that. Apparently it's got kind of a really awesome, like, Easter egg-y ending to it. There's more blood, there's swearing, so it seems like it might be the version to watch.
Have you seen that little bonus scene that was cut out and that didn't make the Blu-ray, unfortunately?
Yes.
Oh my god.
If you're a fan of classic Wolverine.
I've got a chubby just thinking about it.
Imagine if he wore that costume for the next movie.
I think based on the fan response, they kind of owe it to us. Like, even if it just picks up with that, you know, even if it's just for, like, the first scene, and then he's like, can't do that ever again.
Like, it's ripped take it. By a bear.
Yeah.
Damn. Damn Wendigo.
Yeah.
So also, this week, Smurfs 2.
The Smurfening.
Yeah. Which, I believe it bombed pretty badly at the box office, so...
I'm surprised, because then the first one was, like, a surprising hit.
Then, I think...
Yeah, but then people were like, wait, why do we care about the Smurfs? Oh, right, we don't.
Oh, wait, Despicable Me 2 is still out? Okay, never mind.
Let's go see that again.
I think it did pretty good in Europe, though, because obviously that's a European thing.
Because they were probably like, what the fuck is this?
Our beloved Smurfs are back!
Yeah, finally.
Whatever the artist's name, I can't remember his name right now, but...
the prophecies foretold he would come back one day.
Speaking of bombs, Mortal Instruments' City of Bones, so to speak.
Rimini.
The latest attempt to get that some of that sweet Twilight money. Little Mermaid Diamond Edition is on just DVD this week. I think it already came out on Blu-ray. So Diamond Edition DVD.
Yeah, no, it definitely did come out on
Blu-ray.
Blu-ray already, but you would for some reason you would just assume that that would have been a combo pack.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It's just like if you just happen to not have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
Simpsons season 16 is on DVD this week.
Cool.
Transformers Prime season 3, which is a show on the Hub, I believe.
Gotta love that.
WWE Raw 20th Anniversary Collection, the 20 best episodes of Raw.
Too subjective.
Apparently it's just like the full episodes.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. It is, but still.
Saturn 3 is on Blu-ray this week, which is a crazy, like, I think 60s or 70s sci-fi movie with like Farrah Fawcett, Kirk Douglas, and Harvey Keitel.
Whoa.
Serpico is on Blu-ray this week.
Cool.
Along with Wolverine, you can get the X-Men Adamantium Collection, which is every Fox X-Men movie up to this point, including Wolverine. And I guess there's a slot for Days of Future Past in it.
Convenient.
Much like the Bond collection that had the Skyfall slot.
Exactly. You know you're going to get this. Fuck you, Bond. You think you know me?
Euro Trip is on Blu-ray this week.
Wow, was there a demand for that? Or
is Road Trip?
Are they just kind of like,
already?
Weird.
Iron Man Hulk Heroes United is on out this week.
The fuck
it's
is
a
that?
Anime. It's like a CG anime movie where Hulk and Iron Man fight Zax, like the electricity villain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that one flew right by me.
I think he takes over like all of Iron, like Tony's other suits.
Okay.
We have Argo, the declassified extended edition this week. So if you wanted more Argo, you can go get that.
No, I'm good.
And then the Hangover Trilogy is on Blu-ray this week, so all three Hangover movies in one collection.
Ooh, finally.
I would eventually like to own that, but
mm-hmm.
just not at that price.
So, anyway, well, that's it for new releases. So I'm going to get into show and tell for this week. And Joe, raise your hand again.
I watched some weird
okay,
shit.
Okay, let's get into it.
Brace yourselves. So pretty much, the first thing, most important thing, I would say, is that I finally got to see The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And it was definitely more hype than substance.
Yeah, I think it was a little overrated.
It was definitely overrated. I will give you that. But having said that, it was still one of the best horror movies that we've got in quite some mm-hmm. time.
Just solid creepiness.
Solid creepiness all the way through. Classic, like, scares all throughout. And it was, like, ballsy scares, yeah. too. Like, it was stuff where it's like, hey, guess what? Like, we're going to scare the shit out of you, and you know it, and there's nothing you could do about it. Like, there were never any cheap scares in it, you know, where I was like, oh, like, what the hell? Like, there's not a lot of, like, mirror gags going on in this.
A lot of, like, like, hands coming out of nowhere, just, like...
Yeah, just a lot of sort of, like... good old-fashioned, like, throttling up the scares sort of things happening, which, obviously, I am a fan of. So that was cool.
I did like that it was, like, basically when, like, the wardens come in and they're just, like, taking care of business, like just we're setting up cameras, we're taking care of this, we're getting rid of this ghost.
Yeah, they basically go from being like, nah, you don't have a ghost, to being like, okay, there's a ghost and this is what we're going to do about it, like... It wasn't like if you're looking for a movie where they're kind of like, oh my god, what are we going to do? Like, this isn't it. You know?
Like,
because they're basically like, okay, well, just another fucking ghost. Yeah, pretty much.
They got a whole room of, like, evil items.
Yeah, time to fuck up some ghosts. I will say, I was super happy that they included, mild spoilers here, but that they included the, whole Annabelle storyline in it. I think that was a brilliant, brilliant way to start the movie, because that might be the creepiest part of the movie.
Oh my god, yeah.
The very beginning, yeah. So that was cool, but in a way it was also really depressing, because for a while I was doing, you know, not to like jerk off on the podcast here, but I was kind of doing my own treatment and potentially a screenplay for a movie based around Annabelle, because I'm a fan of the Warrens in general, and was like, oh man, I can't believe this isn't a movie. And then, of course, I finally see The Conjuring, and that's like the first scene. I was like, damn it! like, throw my laptop across the room. But hey, they did a great job of it, and I thought it was very fucking cool, very creepy, very effective. The sequence with the daughter, when she's like at home with the grandmother, and shit starts to go awry, we'll mm-hmm. say. That was incredible, like bringing it back to Annabelle a little bit there. So yeah, the horror stuff that it succeeded at really well. But by that same token, it was still a little bit cursed with like the modern horror movie pitfalls, where it was just kind of like there are parts that you just don't care about, and then there are things that they thought were going to be super effective that you're just kind of like, what? So,
like the mirror thing didn't really do anything.
The mirror thing did nothing for me. Like, there's this awful trend with horror movies for a very long time now, but especially recently, where people who are old are just scary. Mm-hmm. Old people aren't scary, okay? Like, if you're gonna have, like, a ghostly lady appear, I understand if she's gonna look old, but there better be some special effects on that hooker. Because in this movie, it was like, oh, look at this weathered old woman. And I was like, that's not really that horrifying. That's kind of, like,
you
sad.
You can't do, like, grandma on roller skates, like, on House on Haunted Hill.
right. And that's kind of like, well, the it's not really a spoiler at this point that there's, like, a ghost in this movie. But the fact that the ghost is, like, just an old woman, like, that's kind of, you know...
An old
that's
witch!
That's, like, our generation's, like, grandma on roller skates sort of thing, you know? Where it's like, ah, fuck me, like, another old woman just, like...
I remember that was a thing that like, we picked up on the hell is that movie called?
Was it Paranormal Activity 3 or whatever, or 4?
Oh, God, the...
3, yeah, we're like, witches. Oh, scary old witches. Like, I really hope that doesn't become a trend. And that was,
nothing
like, from
scarier
years...
than the Nothing scarier than the judgment of the elderly.
And then we made fun about that, and then slowly, sure, like...
Mama.
Yeah, but even that's not even, like, an old woman. That's just, like, a woman who's seen better days. It's just, like, an unkempt woman.
What was the other Patrick What's-His-Face movie that's not The Conjuring? Sinister 2, where it's like, just an old ghost.
Insidious and Insidious 2.
Yeah, we're just like, it's just old people. Yeah, it's Insidious 2, we're like, oh, it's just like old naked people. And we're like, that doesn't seem scary. That just seems like very inconvenient.
Wasn't there like a demon, though?
Yeah, there is a demon involved, but it's just not even, like, worth your time, you know? It's not, because like, half of the movie, they're like, a spooky ghost. And then it's like, just kidding, it's a demon. And, I mean, it's the same thing in The Conjuring also, where they're like, oh, it's a demon. And I'm like, no, it's not, it's a ghost, because you're talking about this woman who died and, like, you know, did all this creepy stuff. So yeah, like that was a little bit weird too. You know what I mean? The fact that they were like ghost. Just kidding, it's a demon. But you learn the demon's identity. Like, I thought demons were supposed to be
it's Pagao
demons. Yeah. Ah, oh, man.
Pagao, the kidnapper of children.
Probably. I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was. I don't know. I thought it was cool. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely super solid,
Yeah, and I'm excited that it might be a franchise now, but I just hope that they kind of keep the wheels on it. Okay, so now on the total opposite end of the spectrum, I watched The Santa Claus, because it's a phenomenal movie. Season. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, exactly.
You only saw the first movie?
The first one. Let's not...
Well, I mean, that's what's been on so far.
Let's not talk about the sequels. Like, didn't two have, like, it was like The Escape Clause or something, or...
I think that's 3.
And 3.
No, that's got, like, Jack Frost.
Martin Short is Jack Frost and, like, evil robot
Hell
Santa.
Yeah.
And 2 was forced marriage. Like that was the plot.
You have to marry this woman.
I hope you know how love works.
It's like, hey, my son's teacher, do you want to go live in the North Pole in total isolation with a bunch of, like, weird little people? Cool.
Do you
want
to kill all contact with your family and friends? Because we need to do this weird tradition. Also, okay, so let's go back. So, yeah, you watched Santa Claus.
Yeah, and it was fun. I mean, it's one of those movies that you've seen a ton of times, but you can't not watch it.
There's still a shitload. I remember I talked about this maybe a year ago where, like, I watched it and I had a shitload of questions about certain parts where... Like, the clause is really fucked up.
The clause is extremely fucked up, and as my girlfriend was pointing out, the time just, like, jumps all over in this movie. Because it's like, oh, it's Thanksgiving Day, now it's Christmas, but now it's back to, like, not Christmas. Like, wait, what? Like, now it's, like, parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, no. Like, they just love having, like, turkey dinners every Sunday in that universe.
I know, we're like, wait,
it's an alternate universe where, like, chickens are extinct, but, like, there's turkeys everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you cooked a turkey, Joe. It's not an easy meal. Like, it takes time, and yet these people produce, like,
it's not hard, but, like, you have to be in a real mood for it. You know, you can't be like, oh, you want to grab a quick turkey? No, there's no such thing as a fucking quick turkey.
And, like, I think the movie... It's weird, because, like, the rule is you somehow put on Santa's clothes, you become Santa.
Yeah.
That's the clause, right? And does the other guy is released from his curse, or is he just dead?
He's
like,
dead.
You don't
he
know.
He just vanishes into the night. I have no idea.
He's fucking, like,
right.
Like,
so I
he's like, you put, like, a force ghost or something.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, okay, so knowing this is like how you end your clause is because you need to like fucking get killed on the job or someone takes your clothes. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really a shitty severance package.
You think you'd be immortal if you're Santa.
Yeah. Turns out,
like a Highlander, but
the fucking home improvement guy can kill you from like yelling at you to get off his roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Even that, it's not like he was like throwing something at him. He just like startled him.
And then, like, where the fuck are the elves watching Santa's back during this whole thing? Because,
where are those black ops elves that show up at the jail to bust him out?
Right, so, like, things like that, like, I was like, huh, like, do they just not like this Santa? Is that the thing where, like, they just were happy to get rid of this version? Okay, that's clause number one, right? Like, how do you get your job? Clause number two, you know he had to have a wife. Like, that was another reason, like, Santa needs a wife. It's just, that's how the bylaw works. Right? So when he goes back to the North Pole, where's the wife? Because he had to go get one in the sequel, but, like, this version didn't have to? Like, they want to notice that? Where, like, the previous Santa just didn't do jack shit?
You're asking an awful lot of questions. Yeah.
I am! And that's why the first movie, I'm kind of like, huh, there's a lot of things that I guess the writers didn't get to because they're like, there was no way we're getting a sequel. Like,
well, I just want to say for the record that I would never question the infinite wisdom of the Walt Disney Company.
Ding.
So you're not going to find me lying face down in my bathtub, like, with Mickey ears drawn on me.
I'm just saying, because, like, this movie, it's good, but there's so many fucking questions. Like, does Tim Allen's character still have a job when he, like, just abandons his identity? Like, would the police know? Does the ex-wife get arrested because she like helped this like convicted felon? Like, because doesn't like the whole town kind of know that like this ex-wife like helped Tim Allen?
Dude, there's just so much shit going on in that movie. It's a great movie, but you have to just like, I don't know.
And then what? Judge, whatever his face is, Judge Reinhold.
Reinhold,
like,
yeah.
And he's just like the most passive aggressive, like, ex, like,
He's like the douchiest goddamn, like, yuppie character in the history.
Yeah.
He's like a psychiatrist or something.
But he's totally fine that the exes are talking and that, like, his, like, ex-wife's husband's, like, Santa Claus. And he's like, yeah, I get this. This is totally reasonable. Oh, check it out. He gave me a board game. Everything's good.
Yep. It was,
Man, too bad that's on Netflix. That would be an amazing Christmas commentary.
A marathon of Claus movies.
Yeah, well, especially if, like, maybe if, like, two or three was on there, because those would be, like, way more to make fun of, but... Or just, like, us, like, getting drunk and, like, angry at, like, Santa Claus 3.
Oh, God.
Fuck you, Marshall!
Speaking of that, though, but anything else you watched, Joe?
I also watched Man of Steel again on Blu-ray, which was cool. It was nice to catch that Keep Calm and Call Batman poster that they snuck in there that you could slow down and find. I thought that was pretty cute. After that, nothing really new to report there. I mean, I think we all pretty much liked Man of Steel. Chris, have you seen it?
I've heard of it.
Fuck me, man.
What are you
doing,
Chris?
Who are you?
You'll
watch it when you're here. Don't worry. It'll be fun. So, the Santa Claus, Man of Steel, Conjuring. I also watched Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Okay. It's a classic. Speaking of classics, I also watched the Winnie the Pooh Christmas special. Not as charming, but charming nonetheless.
I'm more of a Disney Christmas Carol fan.
And I also watched a Disney Christmas Carol, which, I don't know, I like. I think, I mean, Scrooge McDuck, I mean, come on. You can't really go wrong.
You can't name a character Scrooge McDuck and not have him be Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, it's pretty much true. But that was great, and I have to tell you, like, that was made in the 80s, and it shows. Because, and I don't mean in terms of it being outdated, because it's awesome, but that shit gets dark. Like, when Mickey's at his son's grave, like, in the dream,
like,
and he's just, like, crying at the... And he leaves the crutch, like, by the
the light of the moon and the gray.
And then, like, fucking, like, Ghostbusters Future just, like, pointing. Ebenezer.
Yeah, man.
He's basically the Grim Reaper. Like, he's, like, Ghost of Christmas Past, or Ghost of Christmas Future in, like, Disney Christmas Carol is basically, like, some, like, demon out of, like, Fantasia or something.
More or less, like, yeah.
He's, like, that demon from, like, Night on Bald Mountain.
I think so.
Actually, isn't it Pete?
Pete's one of them.
Is it? Because Pete is, like, future, like, he pulls off his cloak and his Pete, and, like, he's, like, pushes Scrooge in, like, the grave, and, like, smokes, like, blows cigar smoke in his face.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. Like, it was really good.
Yeah.
But it's dark. Like, it's real dark. Like, it deals with, like, homelessness and, like, just a bunch of really, like, stuff that you could not get away with today. Which is sad, because, you know.
I mean, our generation of Disney, like, movies and specials are this, like, really dark concept, and then, like, hey, there's hope, we think. Like, that's how, like, it
ends. For listeners who are listening to the podcast, I just sent them the picture of Mickey crying at the grave holding Tiny Tim's crutch, which I think may be my new, like, chat room avatar, so. We'll see.
So, anything else, Joe?
No, that is it.
Actually, I could transition right into what I've been watching, because I watched a shitload of Disney stuff.
Holler.
I mean, it's on. Netflix has a ton of Disney stuff, so. Because that sweet deal they made.
Yeah, man, it's great.
So, actually, I'll just do a bunch of quick. I saw Robin Hood.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can, there's definitely a unique feel to, like, the older Disney movies.
They're
more laid back, and, like, no one's in a really rush to do any plot or anything. And, like, the voice acting is, like, not as, like, there's, like, three people in a booth and, like, just ramble on for, like, 10 minutes. It doesn't really matter. Because there's scenes where, like, King John and, like, Hiss are just, like, talking for, like, 10 minutes about nothing. And then, I don't know, it's not as swashbuckly as I remember it to being.
Really? I just remember, like, there's the archery thing, and then there's, like...
It feels like it should have been just, like, Disney, like, copying the Errol Flynn Robin Hood movie. But it's more like them pulling, like, heist and stuff. The whole beginning is, like, them cross-dressing as, like, gypsies to, like, steal gold from King John, who's an idiot. And then there's, like, the archery contest, and then, like, it's more like Robin Hood and Disney is, like, way more, like, into, like, disguises than actually, like, sword fighting or anything. So, like, he has, like, five different disguises in this movie.
There's the archery, there's the beggar, and then
gypsy lady, fortune teller.
Remember the fortune teller, yeah.
Like, freaking, like, there's, like, Lady Cluck, who's, like, Maid Marian's, like, I don't know, whatever, yeah,
Maid.
Whatever, like, she is way more badass than Robin Hood is, because, like, she has that whole scene, like, she, like, football charges, like, all the guards. You guys remember that part? Like, they're escaping from, like, the archery tournament? And it turns out, like, they play, like, a freaking, like, college fight song, which is, like, running through them as, like, a linebacker.
It's like they invented football in England.
And I also forgot that, like, Robin Hood is, like, super, super British. It's like Disney, like, everyone, it's kind of weird, because, like, half the people are British, and half the people are just, like, weird American comedy people, like, from, like, this, whatever, like, the 70s. But yeah, then we watched Hercules, which is a classic. It's super weird watching, like, you watch, like, an older one and then watch a newer one, because, like, it seems, like, super ADD after watching, like, Robin Hood, Hercules is, because it's just, like, montage, train montage, other montage, songs, going, here's Danny DeVito, I don't know.
And then, like, of all the women he falls for, like, this, like, hooker, basically.
The sluttiest Disney princess ever.
She's not a princess. She's, like, she's blatantly, like, a daywalker. Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, hey, it's Greece. Like, having a prostitution job isn't the worst, because Meg doesn't have, like, a day job. She's just, like, a spy, and then, like, she wanders the streets.
She sold her soul to Hades, because, like, to save, like, her boyfriend. The boyfriend left with another woman. She's like, well, I'm fucking stuck now.
This is what I'm doing now.
It's definitely it's like the weirdest like Disney cast, like kind of like kid unfriendly voice cast ever though too. It's like it's Danny DeVito, it's James Woods, you got like Bobcat Goldthwait in there, you got like Rip Torn, it's
Sean Austin,
yeah. Rip Torn is Zeus, like Paul Schaefer is like Hermes from fucking David Letterman.
I thought that was Pauly Shore. No.
Pauly Shore is in a Goofy Movie.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the weirdest
it's
things.
Definitely,
is like...
It's like, of all of like the stories that like Disney has like Disneyfied over the years, like Hercules is like the most Disneyfied one. Because like the original Hercules story is like super brutal and dark and ridiculous, because like the whole point of like the whole reason like Hercules is like doing like his 12 labors is because he got drunk, or like Hera like roofied him and like he murdered every single person in his house during like a party. Like he went to a drunken like roid rage and murdered everyone.
Was this before or after his gay sex adventure? I'm not even kidding. This happened, man. Like, this is a story where, like, he's just, like, fucking, like, his companions.
Oh, that it might have been during, like, his, just, like, roid rage blackout where he just, like, raped and murdered everyone in his house.
I wish I was kidding. Like, Greek stories are, like, heavily edited from, like, their original
version. Yeah, go read, like, Edith Hamilton's mythology if you want to, like, read what, like, what actually all this stuff is based on. There hasn't been really a Hercules story that's been, like, true to, like, the nature of Hercules.
No, they always skip, like, they gloss over, like, the
like
really
why, like, why
parts.
He's has to do his, like, his labors.
His labors is, like, I killed a lion, and, like, I need to go, like, a far away to
do,
like,
this. That's one of the weirdest, like, Easter eggs of Hercules is, like, the lion, because is Scar. Like, he kills
yeah.
Scar. Like, it's blatantly Scar for, like, 5 minutes yeah. on screen. It's, like, Scar's skin.
Like, I guess that's a nod to the lion story where he does, like, gladiator battles, yeah. like, murdering, like, exotic animals for
it's,
a while.
Like, he doesn't really, he doesn't do, like, he does, like, Hydra is, like, the main one that he does for, like, is actually one of his labors he did. But all the rest of them are just, like, weird, like, monsters that he fights. It's actually, it's more like yeah. Disney's Clash of the Titans, because, like, the whole plot of Hercules is Clash of the Titans.
They do some in Titans
yeah.
for some strange reason.
Hades,
even though gods and
Hades,
Titans hate each other.
Hades wants to unleash the Titans to take over Olympus. So, I mean, that's the
plot. Even though
the
Titans hate gods, like that's another
well,
thing. Like, Titans
hate Zeus
gods
specifically. So Hades hates Zeus. Therefore, he can work with Titans and they can kill Zeus together or something.
How about this really fucked up thing where they actually kill, like, a character, and then they go to the underworld to, like, get the soul
yep.
back? And that's kind of weird.
Yeah. And it's, like, rotting Hercules.
Oh my god. It's like, oh, hey, he's losing all his muscle mass, and now he's just, like, swimming in this pool.
He's like, he's it's like the end of Last Crusade. Where, like, he drank the wrong grail. And then last time I watched on Netflix was I watched Treasure Planet because I never saw it before.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah, that's late 90s, early 2000s Disney is like kind of a
early
2000s.
Yeah.
Like I've not seen any of those movies.
It's like right when snowboarding was peaking and like extreme was like a verb.
Well, it's super weird because it feels like like a knockoff of Disney movie. Even though it is a Disney movie, it feels like Titan A.E. or something.
It's weird because Titan A.E. is like a knockoff
yeah,
Disney
it came out
movie.
It came out 2 years before, like Technically, he was like 2000, and like Treasure Planet was like 2002.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
But it feels like the same because it's like there's the only song in Treasure Planet is like this weird Goo Goo Dolls song. Like the one from like Titan E was like Lit. So it's like this weird like kids love Lit and Goo Goo Dolls, right?
We love these grungy alternate bands.
College indie rock bands, right? They're cranking their dials to the local college station.
Like there's only two parts I really vividly remember from Treasure Planet was like the snowboarding thing where he has like a glider.
Yeah. Right?
And there's a cat woman, like a sexy cat like lady.
Well, that's instead of like whatever, I can't remember like the captain that they hire to, I want to say Flint, but it's not Captain Flint, I don't think. Because Flint is like the actual, like the original pirate who like stole all the treasure and put it on Treasure Planet. But it's like basically I think it's supposed to be like who Kermit played in Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's like a British cat lady.
But like an over extreme like sexualized cat lady. You're like, huh? This is weird. This is definitely like some animator's like wet dream.
And like David Hyde Pierce, it's like weird dog alien doctor guy. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Jim.
Wow, that is not highlighted at all. And who's Long John then?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think it was someone pretty famous.
Someone had to be someone famous.
Oh, Emma Thompson was Captain.
The sexy cat lady?
Oh, Brian Murray was long. I don't. Not Brian Doyle Murray, but just Brian Murray. Seems like he's a British actor guy.
Yeah.
And also Martin Short was in it as Ben, like Ben Gunn, but he's a robot. It's just, it's kind of like, it's okay. I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's never going to be on, like, the best Disney movies all time list anywhere, but,
It definitely is going to be, like, forced to be, like, these, like, top unknown or, like, terrible movies that doesn't live up. Top
never heard of or something.
It's like this and then that cow movie where it's, like, Home on the Range. Yeah.
That was, like, they go, like, Disney definitely, like, peaks and valleys. Because they had, like, their, like 60s, 70s movies, and they bombed, and then they got Little Mermaid, they came back, and they were, like, super high during the 90s, and they bombed again, and then with, like, their, like, late 90s, early 2000s, they came back up with, like, I think probably, Princess and the Frog was probably the one where they came back on, and now they're kind of, like, back on the high again with, like, because they had Princess and the Frog, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, and then Frozen.
Yeah.
Which I saw Frozen as well last week. Which is definitely just like solid Disney, like princess adventure. It's definitely, if you saw Tangled, you'll probably enjoy Frozen as well, because it's kind of the same thing.
Is it almost the same animation?
They definitely have a specific look they're going with their CG.
Because, like, the horse character in that thing, I thought was the same horse from Tangled. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's not really the horse isn't really a character in Frozen. There's a reindeer named Sven. And then, it's based on the Ice Queen, or, like, the Ice something, Snow Queen, which is, like, an Hans Christian Andersen story. Actually, before I get into what Frozen is, I should mention, Almost worth the price of admission by itself. There's a Mickey Mouse short in front of Frozen that is awesome.
Really?
Like, one of the best, like, 3D things you'll ever see. Because it starts out, it's like a 2D, like, classic black and white Mickey cartoon, and then it switches into 3D, and they constantly go back and forth between 2D and 3D. It is That's cool. It is ridiculously awesome.
Nice.
It's like classic Mickey versus Pete with Minnie caught in the middle, and like they do a bunch of stuff with this, like playing with like the screen and playing with like all this other 3D stuff. So it's definitely like almost worth the price of admission 3D alone.
Sweet.
But yeah, Frozen's pretty good. So yeah, it's based on Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. It's basically these two sisters. One is born with like crazy snow powers or ice powers, and it's different a little bit from like other Disney movies, because there's no villain really. Because like Elsa, who's like the queen who has the ice powers, like she's not evil. She's not getting revenge on everyone by freezing the kingdom or anything. It's just like she just like loses control of her powers and then accidentally freezes everything and runs away. But like the main villain is like bad parenting, because like her parents are like, they know about her ice powers and they don't like do it. They're just like, hide those powers, you shouldn't use those. Even though, and then there's like trolls who live nearby, and these trolls seem to like know all about how the powers work, and they're magic themselves. So it's not like they didn't like have her like go and like learn and train with their powers. They're just like, yeah, just mind wipe her sister so she doesn't know about magic, and then we'll lock them both away in the castle.
So the main villain is feminine, like intuition.
Well, bad Professor X style parenting. It's like basically like their solution is to like mind wipe everything, and then just like have them not like hide their powers so that they can't use them. Which she does, and then but then loses control of them. When she's basically like she's gonna become the queen, and then she has to like go through like this whole like public coronation thing, and she's like freaking out about it, and then like loses control of her ice powers, and like freezes the Dark Kingdom and runs away, and then her sister has to go talk to her and like talk her down, then like unfreeze the village or unfreeze the kingdom, and then she like gets help from like this ice harvester and his reindeer, and then a magic snowman named Olaf, who is probably one of the best parts of the movie. Olaf, he's like super like kind of dumb, but like sweetly dumb, because he doesn't understand anything. Like he's like his dream is like go like end up in summer and like experience summer, even though he's a snowman. But I mean, just usual great Disney animation. Songs are pretty good. Like it's full of like the usual Disney songs, like Broadway style. Like, a couple of them might be like future classics. I don't know. Olaf has a pretty good song, but like, what would he do in the summer?
I'll die.
He doesn't understand. Like, he doesn't understand how warmth works.
Right. Well, it is mysterious.
Yeah. So I'd say definitely check it out, especially if you're like. If you like Tangled or any of the other classic Disney movies. It's definitely weird because like Wreck-It Ralph was like a crazy departure last year, and now they're back to like just their normal like wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Disney, I watched a couple other things. I watched 13 Assassins finally, which is awesome. I think, Chris, you watched it last year.
Is it the samurai one? The 13 samurai?
That they have to assemble and kill the evil shogun.
Yeah,
just awesome samurai movie. The last like hour is just one long continuous battle that is ridiculous.
I like the prep time though. Yeah, it's just awesome. like swords are useless after like four hits, so let's just scatter a whole bunch around.
Super
so.
Great like planning, and like you get to like get into like the politics of the shogun, and like how deals and like plans work and like politics work in like Japan in like the 1800s. Which is kind of crazy too, because like it's 1844, I think, is when the movie takes place. So like we're like America is like fucking like building the Transcontinental Railroad, and they're like still like fighting with swords, and like it's like feudal still in Japan. So it's kind of crazy like how that worked, like how like far behind they were.
Good old days.
they didn't have like guns in 13 Assassins, but they didn't really use them too much. They had like flintlock pistols, like muskets and stuff.
And this is right before Last Samurai. Like, this yeah. is mm-hmm. at least a decade or two. Mm-hmm.
So I think, wasn't Last Samurai, like, early 1900s or something like that?
Yeah. Like, 1890 or something. It's, like, right after the Civil yeah. War or something after that.
So this is, like, pre-Civil War, but still, I mean, there was, like, some innovations that are not present in Japan that we that the other rest of the world had.
But I mean, in terms of a samurai movie, this is, like, pretty good for a modern samurai movie that doesn't have, like, a weird,
there's no,
like,
yeah, there's
demon.
No, like, there's no magic, there's no magic, like, straight, there's no, yeah, there's no,
yeah,
like, it's just,
yeah.
like, straightforward, like, sword, like, we have to, like,
skill, it's like, yeah. we have 13 skilled guys taking on, like, a small army, yes. and this is what, most likely, what mm-hmm. would happen. Except for, like, one guy that, like, comes back, and, like, he shouldn't come back, you know,
yeah.
just, like, mm-hmm. But, like, that does break the whole, like, demon immersion, because it was a theory, because that guy, like, this is based on, like, a historic
yeah.
event, and there's a theory that guy did get injured and came back, and they just called him a demon because he was just, like, this filthy, like, bum. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the story, it's kind of like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm kind of, like, part demon. Like, he says that nonchalantly at the end, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
That just mm-hmm. happened. And, yeah, like I said, like, the build up to the plan is really great. Then the last, like I said, the last hour, just like fighting and then like drama, but like it's really drawn out. It's like no one dies some sort of wussy death. Like they're very like, we'll fight to
yeah.
the end.
Well, because their whole thing is like the best thing a samurai can do is die honorably or whatever. So and basically, like when they all like agree to like the plan, it's basically like you can use like you basically use us until we're dead. And, there's a lot of awesome, like, yeah, planning stuff. Like, they do, like, the whole plan of, like, if we block off this bridge, they'll probably go here. So, we'll fortify this place and then pay this town off. And then, so a lot of, like, awesome, like, gambles that pay off and stuff. So, I'd say definitely check it out on Netflix. And then the last thing I watched Homefront, the latest Jason Statham movie. That bombed pretty horribly at the box office this past Thanksgiving weekend.
Ooh. I was hoping it wouldn't, but I had a feeling it would.
I think it did a little bit better than Parker, but not like, maybe like a million, like $1 million better than Parker. I don't know. Yeah, it was decent. It wasn't anything too spectacular or anything. It was just like a kind of a solid Statham movie. Written by Stallone, so. And I have no idea. I can't even imagine this movie with like, because it's originally supposed to star Stallone. I can't even imagine how this movie like Stallone versus James Franco. Like, I don't know how that works in any universe.
It'd be like a one-sided fist.
Especially fight. The thing is, like, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler, but like, how James Franco fights Jason Statham is he sends Frank Grillo to fight him. It doesn't like doing like he's more like James Franco's like more scheming behind the scenes and like deal making like these deals and stuff. He's not like going like mano a mano with anybody.
Well, that's what I figure because yeah, it's like when he stacked the two up, it's like this is a comedic one sided fight.
He's a little bit like a Cajun Boyd Crowder.
Boyd,
except like dealing meth, like cooking meth in like his boathouse.
I'm like, did this really start because Jason Statham's little girl kicked this like Gator's girlfriend's son's ass?
Kicked Gator's sister's son's ass.
Oh, sister.
And
okay.
Sister played by Kate Bosworth, who's just like this horrible like meth whore, who's just like, apologize, my son. I'm gonna kill you.
Sounds like a live action Squidbillies.
Basically. Like, everyone, it's just, like, horrible, like, meth addicted people. Like, there's, like, everyone in town is either, like, working for Gator or, like, just super scared of Gator and not wanting to, like, go against him.
The whole county knows
this. Like, he just sends goons to, like, fight Jason Statham at, like, a gas station. And the gas station guy's like, oh, not this again! And runs off. And then Jason Statham just beats the shit out of them with, like, a gas pump.
Oh, okay, so not too much of a spoiler alert, but how, like, shocking is it when it reveals that Jason Statham's like a cop?
It's in the,
like,
it's in the goddamn trailer. That's all. That's the reveal.
Right. Right, but like, is it? Did they just do that in the movie where it's like, oh my
actually,
god?
Like, actually, because it just like it escalates ridiculously crazy. Where it's like, Statham's daughter beats up the cape author's son. He doesn't apologize, and then Cape Bowser's like yelling at her husband to like go and like beat Jason Statham up at in the school parking lot, and like Statham just like backhands and like knocks him on the ground and like does like an arm bar on him, and it's just like, so it basically like, embarrassed. He's like, "You embarrassed me in front of my kid. I'm gonna kill you." So like they go to Gator, and like Gator sends like his goons like go beat him up, and then Statham beats the shit out of them. So then like Gator goes and like breaks into Statham's house where they're not home. Just like wanders around Jason Statham's house and like finds like these boxes of like confidential documents in Jason Statham's basement, and then sees that he's like a Interpol DEA undercover cop. Like it is super unclear like what Jason Statham actually is.
Oh, good. He's his character from
Safe. Yeah, where he's like 20 different things because like. In the files, he has like an Interpol ID, but also has like a DEA because like, he's working like undercover to like bust drugs. But they keep saying he's like an undercover cop, so it's like I don't know what he is. But basically, the whole thing is like in the beginning, the sort of the pre-title action sequence is like Statham undercover with, like these bikers, and it goes horribly awry. The mission goes bad, and then like this. The head of the biker gang, his son gets like gunned down by the cops, and then he blames Statham for it. It's like the whole Gator's whole plan in the movie is to when he figures out that Statham is like a cop, his whole plan is to sell basically give the bikers Statham's location, and then in exchange for the bikers to like distribute his meth everywhere.
Okay, that's a big gamble.
And so then he sends like his like freaking like meth addicted like girlfriend Winona Ryder to like go negotiate this deal with the bikers.
Oh man, that's a stable like person to send.
Yeah, basically all the women in this movie are like just like super awful like meth addicted whores who are just like completely unstable and like crazy.
No, they usually are.
And then, yeah, so basically it just, like, escalates from there, and, like, the bikers show up, and then Statham has defend his house.
The problem with this movie is, like, in the trailer, it gives away way too much. So when you watch it, you're like, oh, I know where this is going.
I think I would have liked a little bit more of, like, Statham and Gator, like, escalating with each other and like going against each other, because like they don't go face to face in like maybe like an hour into the movie.
Then what it is, he probably like throws things has some sort of weird advantage.
It's like a diner, and Satan just like they're making like veiled threats to each other. Like, you better watch your back, boy.
You see, like
I was also super confused because I thought like it seemed like maybe Statham for like the first 10 minutes was trying to do like a southern accent and just gave up on it because it's basically just Statham's British as usual.
He's just like, fuck it, I can't do two accents. Like, barely American and then just UK. Yeah.
Which is weird because I've heard a lot of like British people like when you see Idris Elba and like Andrew Lincoln, all these other people, like David Morrissey. Basically everyone in like Walking Dead is British almost, and like they're always like everyone's saying like, oh, British and Southern is like pretty close like dialect wise, so it's like kind of easy to like change your British accent to a Southern accent or something.
Yeah, but like Jason Statham's got like a Cockney accent.
So that's definitely more like you can't change that.
It's definitely like ingrained. Well, unless you get the Dick Van Dyke British, which I'll go into my story with that one.
Like, y'all better come over to the get some crawfish.
Like, maybe slightly I could hear it, but like it's like not to like an Americanized person that's gonna hear this and be like, yeah, bullshit. So is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say don't rush out. You don't have to rush out and see it, but maybe like if you want to rent it, I'd say maybe the second best Statham movie of the year. I'd probably put Redemption above it, just because, like, it's a little bit more interesting. It's like a weird change of pace for Statham. It's like more like dramatic. It's kind of like this like crazy premise that's way more interesting than like Southern weird like Justified light in the South. It's like, if you could probably like Justify with swap people, it's basically like what Homefront is. Was like written by Sloan, so there's like weird, like over dramatic, obvious like scenes of like people saying exactly what they're thinking and stuff. I.e. the Tool speech from Expendables.
Good. So, you know, that won awards.
So yeah, so that's all I've been watching. So what are you watching, Chris?
I watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which I was harping on everyone to join me, and none of you guys did, but I went ahead and had my own little shenanigan drinking time podcast, which we'll put up at some point. And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I totally forgot this was from Ian Fleming.
Yep.
Like, it's Ian Fleming's like pet project that he created, and then I think he just convinced Roald Dahl to like help him make it child friendly.
Because they were like,
I guess they're, in his first
they're
draft,
crazy spies together.
Yeah, like they were part of that like propaganda slash like infiltration of Nazi like key point something. Like, it's very mysterious, and like it's like the weird like side project he was making that wasn't Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, I think, maybe the first two Bond movies, and then he took a break, and then he made this movie on the side. But before that, he was writing this. Like, he was writing probably, like, the first set of novels, and then he's like, well, I'm tired of, like, writing about, like, boozing women and, like, villains, like, that want to take over the world. I'll write, like, a story about, like, a single father who invents a flying car and fucking gets into, like, espionage, which happens.
Yep.
Like, that just happens in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So Ian Fleming cannot write anything that doesn't involve espionage. So yeah, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang starts off about this inventor with two kids, and they don't question like where the like hell he's getting this money from to invent stuff, or the fact these kids aren't in school at all. Like, during the whole movie, like, they're just uneducated like street urchins. And Dick Van Dyke stumbles upon a like a candy baroness. I'm not even sure there's a candy title for that, but it's like Dick Van Dyke's trying to sell a candy flute, and I'm like, I'm skipping some parts and musical numbers, but it's like, the main point is that Dick Van Dyke invented candy flutes that, at first, he didn't really have a good application on what to call them. Like, he invents his, like, candy that, like, that's basically just like a giant weird popsicle that you can blow, like, notes into, and it'll play a flute sound. But, like, he didn't have, like, a witty, like, marketing term for these things. He just, like, made them. He's like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. Like, I don't... They sound like flutes. Like, it's so shitty, because it's like, this guy's an inventor, but he didn't obviously know how to call his invention. And, like, his big breakthrough is calling it sweet flutes or sweet toots. And he goes to this candy maker to sell it to. And it works. Like, his product works for all the intents and purposes. Like, it's tasty, and it plays music, and it makes all the fucking people, like, in the factory, like, want it and, like, play music too. But the side effect is, if you play too high, like, dogs come to the factory. Like, there's just, like, big montage of, like, all these stray dogs, like, breaking into this candy factory pretty easily. And, yeah, and then, like, he considers that candy thing a failure, even though it worked, you know? And I was like, okay. And then, like, the next day, he invents a flying car. Like, you just, like, yep. I made a car. No questions asked. I just got really inspired after that dog incident, and I made a car that could fly. And, like, that's... The thing is, I'm skipping, like, almost an hour and a half of, like, plot between these, like, simplified versions. Yeah. And there's, like, so many weird things about, like, that go on, like, introduce characters that just don't do anything. There's, like, hints to, like, what happens, like, there's other characters that come in, say something, but, like, I'll see you later, and, like, you know, you'll see them at the end. Or it's, like, they get kidnapped. It's just, like, really weird things, right? So they take the car out for, like, a flight test, and they inadvertently piss off Germany. Then Germany, like, on board has, like, I think, like, some representative from, like Scotland, Italy, possibly. Like, I don't know. They're just like generals on this boat, yacht, battle cruiser that see this flying car, and their first instincts are like, let's just, like, I don't know what this is, let's attack it. And so they do. And then, like, Chi-Chi Bang Bang flies back, and they're tracking it down, and then, now this is where, like, the movie gets foggy, because, like, I'm fading in and out, because I was drinking a lot during this movie. But, like, somehow they go, the inventor, Dick Van Dyke, oh yeah, Dick Van Dyke's character is a British inventor. And the movie starts off strong, like, it's him trying his hardest, I think, maybe post-Mary Poppins, like, Cogney accent, like, hello, Mary Poppins, like, that fucking accent.
Ship, and cheerio. Like,
yeah, it's the hardest, like, Americanized, this is what we think British people do, kind of voice.
Spot a tea in halfway the morning, the governor.
Halfway during the movie, everyone I'm watching the movie notices it's just gone. Like, it's just given up. The accent is no longer there.
I invented an accent go-away machine.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, like, man, I kept speculating, was it the sweet tooth that did it? Or was it the car driving that, like, I can't remember if the car drives in an American way, or, like,
he got shrapnel from, like, the explosions when the Germans were shooting at him, and, like, he got that weird, like, condition where, like, you lose your accent if you get brain damage.
Yeah, I guess he got brain damage somehow, because, like, halfway through the movie, he's just like, yep, hey, kids, and it's like, whoa, what's your accent? What accent? I'm like, oh, okay, we're just gonna know that. And so, like, eventually Chi-Chi Bang Bang, like, crash lands and blatantly, like, Germany, even though I don't think they say it, but it's in Germany. Everyone gets kidnapped. The kids escape, so the German, like, king, like, orders the child wrangler to come and, like, find them. And his job is just to hunt down orphans, like, just loose children.
It's like Prussia or something, or the Ottoman Empire.
You know, it's just mixed. Like, they don't want to stay, like, what it is, but it's, like, it's 1908 that the movie takes place. You know why I know this? It's because the movie begins in 1903, and there's this montage of fucking races that take place that has nothing to do with what happens later. Like, it's just this opening montage of cars racing from 1903 to 1908. I know. It's weird to say, but, like, I watched this and I'm like, wait, what's going, like, why is this happening? Like, I get it's the same car.
Was there narration or anything, or just, like?
No, there's no narration. It's 5 minutes of cars racing.
It's like, the Le Mans is a famous race, and then it happens every year. Oh, look at Chi-Chi Bang Bang running the Le Mans race.
Okay, so here's why. I actually, during the movie, we looked it up and asked each other. So, you know why they call this movie Chi-Chi Bang Bang?
No.
Because the car they drive, the model, is called a Chitty Bang.
Mm-hmm. And it's doubly, and awesome, doubly awesome than a normal version. So it's Chitty Bang Bang?
I think that's the joke. And I'm like, this is weird British humor. Like, I get this. Like, and then I'm like, wait, who writes something like this? Then I'm like, this man wrote Bond. Like, this is weird. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if this one person wrote Chi-Chi Bang Bang and never wrote anything again, makes sense, you know? Like, his writing career kind of didn't take off.
Doesn't everyone have weird, like, Bond names, too?
Like, there's also weird Bond
films.
Is it just kind of like
a Pussy Galore sort of name in Chi-Chi Bang Bang?
I don't remember, but maybe. There's so much shit going on. So many characters get introduced, and just, like, we don't care halfway through, like, our commentary for this, because,
like,
we're,
yeah,
like, Jesus
like
Christ.
A weird, like, Bond double entendre.
There's a queen, or, like, some sort of baroness, another, like, weird upper woman, and she's really infatuated with, like, having this car, even though she probably doesn't know how to drive. She just, like, wants it in her country.
Oh, yeah, the main girl is, like, truly scrumptious.
I think that could have been her last name.
And there's Lord Scrumptious. And Dick Van Dyke is like Caractacus Potts.
Oh yeah, it's Mr. Potts. Because you hear that a lot. Well, I don't even know his first name. They just call him Mr. Potts a lot, and it's the fucking dirty kids.
But no, yeah, Truly Scrumptious was the one I was thinking of.
I think that might have been the Truly Scrumptious was the, because there's the candy factory, I think it's called, like, Scrumptious or something like that, and he's trying to sell to them the candy flute. And that's what I mean. The first arc itself is like a whole movie. But then there's a second part.
Willy Wonka. Basically, up until that point, Willy Wonka is like in the first hour of this movie.
Yeah. That's perfect way to put it, because the candy factory is like the porn part. And then during the part, we're like, wait, isn't this movie about a flying car? Like, where's the flying car? And then out of nowhere, flying car.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's go piss off the Germans, because they love being bothered. And then they crash land in Germany. The grandfather gets kidnapped because they think he's some sort of like spy. And then they just they get all back together. They trick the German emperor saying like, hey, you know, this is how you really fly the car. Oh, you need everyone in it. Oh, okay. Open that door. And they just fly away. And then it's like, wow, I hope they don't go for revenge knowing it's like, well, I really hope the Germans don't get revenge about this. So, yeah, and then it just ends with them just, flying off and going, yay, we tricked this country. I hope they don't come back, because we just definitely did, an act of war. So, yeah, I think I blacked out at this point. And I got shooken up to, woken to, see the credits. Yeah. And then it just ends with, bye from Ian Fleming. I'm like, oh, wow, Ian Fleming has the audacity to say, I wrote this shit, again.
So anything else, Chris?
No, the next day was just recovery mode of watching random movies, which I can't remember, because, I am so done by, the part where they crash land inside this court in Germany. At that point, I could have turned off the movie, but the commentary was still been going.
Just, 5 hours later, it's still recording.
Yeah, I was just oh man, this is a long, long commentary.
Well, we should probably mention, we'll probably talk about it more next week, because I've seen it. We should probably just mention, you saw the first two episodes of Mob City.
Yes, I did.
Which I'm sure, if you listen to this on Thursday or later on, I'm sure you've probably seen it as well, because they're on, literally as we're recording this right now, they're on, so. But you thoroughly enjoyed them, it seems, Chris. Your review was up.
I did. My review states that it's very good. I'm a sucker for noir stories, and this is right up my alley for gritty, mobster noir, very early West Coast. You know, I'm not just Gumshoe. Gumshoe's usually by himself. This is oh, I have a job. I have a day job. I just can't get drunk all the time. So it's nice to see, some characters who, I guess, walk a fine line between good and evil. Because, in this story, it's there really isn't, a good, there really isn't an evil. It's kind of survival, and then trying to find, your cash prize. You're trying to find an easy score. So every character's trying to do that.
So there's no untouchables?
No, there's no, absolute Sean Connery, hey! Something Nash.
Elliot
Ness, that's it. There's no, I love my job.
We're going to take crime down.
No, there's actually one character played by, what the hell's his name? But anyway, yeah, don't worry. It's just one character is on the police, the police chief that blatantly is he has to be the force of good. Mm-hmm. And the opposite side is Bugsy Siegel.
Is he the first captain you get in L.A. Noire? The weird Daniel Day-Lewis Irish chief who's just we're the righteous power of the angels, laddie.
Yeah, you kind of get that. That's what he kind of is. Except they kind of have a little backstory explain how he rose up to chief. That's not just oh, this is the chief. No, they actually show a flashback where it's young actor this, and it's his rise to outperforming everyone to become one of the youngest chief police. So it's cool. He is the James Gordon of this precinct or city. And so You find characters mix it. Everyone has this background that you kind of understand. You kind of okay, this is going to cause problems in the future. You know, all these goals that are definitely clashing.
Is it post-World War II or is it pre-World War II?
posts. Okay. Like, the war's over. Like, they're making a lot of, like
LA Noir time. Like, cause LA Noir, the game, was, like, immediately after World War II ended. It was just like, well, all soldiers are cops now.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, you're in the war. Like, come be a cop now.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to check it out. We can talk about maybe spoiler board or something next week.
Yeah, definitely next week. It's really rough because the first episode introduces a lot of story, and then they complete it. Like, it's
and
a very...
doing it, 2 episodes a week for the next 3 weeks.
It's only, like, 6 episodes, yeah. So it's like, they're going to be done by, like, the new year.
It's also kind of weird, too, because, like, the Bonnie and Clyde miniseries is coming out, like, basically this weekend. So there's weird, like, 30s, 40s crime stuff happening right now on cable.
It was a hot, fun time back then.
Yeah. And there's also, like, there was, like, Gangster Squad earlier this year.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, Gangster Squad happens, like, a little bit after Mob City.
Yeah, because that's more Mickey Cohen.
Yeah, Mickey Cohen's era. Like, Mickey Cohen's future.
Yeah, Mob City is more Bugsy Siegel, right?
Yeah, it's like pre-Bugsy Siegel leaving L.A. to
start Las Vegas.
So, Bugsy Siegel's here. And here's the worst part, though, is that, like, Bugsy Siegel's kind of like a main character. So, like, you know he doesn't die. It's all, like, the non-fiction
spoilers
character.
For history.
Yeah, I said that in my review. Like, if you don't know your history, like... You don't need to worry about key characters. It's like the friends of key characters you need to worry about.
Unless,
like, those are the
unless
people
it's
that...
a Tarantino movie, you know, you can basically like base yourself on it's based on history. Like you can probably be like named historical people usually are around.
Are fine. Yeah. You're gonna walk around until like history catches up.
Like Al Capone, it doesn't get like gunned down or like beaten down in a fist fight in like any of like.
It doesn't like choke on a bagel or something.
So, so your review is up there on a site. Also, interview with star of Mob City, John Bernthal, is up there.
Yeah.
Also, and you go if you want to go back and check, we have the audio from the press conference we attended with Ed Burns and Melvin DeMigli and Robert Knepper at New York Comic Con. That's up on the site in the New York Comic Con series. So a ton of stuff from Mob City if you want to go check that out. Also on the site, I have reviews for Frozen and Homefront, if you want to go read those. And, I don't know, just a bunch of, like, all the heroes we talked about are up there on the site. A bunch of other stuff is on the site. EveryNation.com. Stay tuned, we're going to have, probably in a couple weeks, we're going to have our top tens of the year. So, start planning for that, Chris.
Woohoo.
And I'm going to say probably at least one or two more commentaries coming up in this month. Definitely one for Christmas, because Christmas is a Wednesday. It's a regular record in the day. So we'll have something special for Christmas. And, just a bunch of other stuff coming up on there pretty much every day. So also we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everythingnetaction, twitter.com/evaction. You can email us at contact@everythingnetaction.com. Find us on Tumblr, everythingnetaction.tumblr.com. iTunes, search for us on iTunes. You can download the podcast center, rate us, leave us some reviews, leave some comments. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, which is free, and you get news stories from the site, and also listen to the podcast on there as well. And you also download us or stream us on Stitcher.com by searching for Everything Action. So, for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.